Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of season 11 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off this particular part six of the series is Alex Robinson of the Star Wars Minute. Welcome back once again, Alex.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yes, again. Yes. Well, probably happier than some of the guys that are going to be in this particular segment, but yeah. And you see, you do get something that, it's amazing that this is the final episode of this part. And it's the first time that the final episode is also 5 minutes. Up until now,
it's worked out nicely.
Exactly. Up until now, they've all been a lot shorter. You know, you had things that were closer to the original idea of minute by minute. But mm-hmm. What can you do? You deal with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 79 begins with Ro seeing the devastation in the town, and ends with the end title card for part six. So we ended things yesterday with Welsh getting injured and Doc Ro getting him, on the Jeep and taking him to the town in order to try and get some help from, the nurses that we met earlier in this part. And, mm-hmm. He finally gets there and he sees that this town is just being obliterated. There is just so much, death and destruction that's going on. And, finally they stop the Jeep right near the church, and he gets out in order to start moving towards the church. And he sees men coming out of the church and, a lot of smoke and dust. One of them screams, "Get out quick." He goes, and, he's just staring and trying to figure out what he's supposed to do at this point. Is he supposed to go help? Is he supposed to, what is Doc Ro's job at this point? And then a Jeep drives by that is like completely on fire. and Doc Ro runs towards the building, and there's a huge explosion that happens also. And I love the lighting here, because this is the middle of the night, but they have all the flashes, from I guess the flak and the bombs and everything like that. So it lights up the area, so we get to see a little more of the detail of everything that's going on. And then
the whole thing has a very nightmare-y type of feeling to it. Especially the flaming Jeep going by, and there is a driver in it, but you can't really see him, so it looks very, on its own. Why the guy would be driving a Jeep that was on fire, I don't know. Is he trying to drive away from the fire?
Sometimes people do crazy things.
Maybe he was driving it and it burst into flames and he's like, "I gotta get out." Then he was like, "I gotta pull over."
Maybe. Or maybe saying, I can go, maybe there's like a fountain that I can drive the, drive the Jeep into.
I don't know. Like some guy running around with his pants on fire trying to look for somewhere to dunk his pants.
Exactly. There you go. That's the way to do it. So it is possible.
But yeah, like him staggering around in this situation, like I don't know what you kind of do. You just kind of stagger around until someone goes, "Hey, come here," which is kind of what he does. He kind of just is like, in a daze.
Yeah, he's definitely in a daze here, not knowing what he's supposed to be doing. And
he's like, "Where am I supposed to get that hot meal
that's right.
Winter's promised me?"
And he's basically trying to run into the church, and a guy runs out and goes, "Stay out of there." And then we hear, some more bombs dropping. And again, more destruction of everything that's going on. But as he gets to the entrance, he looks down and, he sees that there's a lot of things inside that have collapsed. And he slowly walks forward, and you can see that he can see something. We're not.
You don't know what.
You don't know what yet. And then he reaches down and pulls out the the scarf, or the handkerchief, that the nurse had, that he had those conversations with, which, I mean, apparently she's a real person. It's based on a real person that was helping, but she apparently wasn't in the exact same place.
Did she really die? Or we assume she died.
She really did that. She really died. Is there, it's Renee Lemaire. That was her name. So
Okay.
Anna's the one from the Congo who they showed, and Renee is the one who we now know was killed, at least in this episode. But so in real life, she was killed on Christmas Eve in 1944. She was 30 years old, and she was at an aid station in Bastogne, but it wasn't the same place that that they show here. Yeah, so it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday, the fact that this really is Christmas Eve. She was killed on the 24th of December.
Right.
The aid station was she was actually able to evacuate six soldiers before she died, because she ran back in to help a seventh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That I would go so far as to call that heroic.
Yes. But apparently there's also no proof that Renee and Doc Rowe ever met. That's a little
Right.
bit of a stretch here in order to do that, but it does help. It adds a lot more weight to this particular scene for us
Yeah.
to see the fact that that he finds her handkerchief, or it's more like a headscarf, I guess you can sort of I guess yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Towelette.
would you call it a towelette? I mean, again, she had it on her head to
Okay.
keep her hair out of the way, I guess, when she was working on the various things.
Kerchief.
Kerchief. Okay. Maybe you can call it a kerchief. And then Doc Rowe is woken up from his stupor by another guy that standing outside, and he screams, "Medic, get your ass out of there. Come on." And he realizes that he can't really stay there anymore. This is it's not safe. And even if he wanted to go try and save Renee, he's not going to be able to. There's she's unfortunately beyond help at this point. But the shot lingers for quite a few moments on him basically handling the kerchief before he puts it in his pocket, and then walks out a little bit staggering. But he also he's this is a guy who's seen a lot of death and destruction in the time that he's been in Europe. So
Sure, yeah.
he
Plus, as a medic, no less, you
exactly
see the very worst of it,
yeah
yeah.
yeah and he's treated a lot of them, and some it helped and some it didn't, from that perspective. And he just gets out of there and decides to work his way back. And then the shot changes, and we hear, first of all, before the shot changes, we hear someone say, "Get the hell off the road," which is an interesting comment for him to hear as he's leaving the town.
Staggering.
Yeah. And then the shot changes again, and we see Doc Rowe just now. I guess he walked back. Maybe it was the Jeep that he was in. No, it couldn't have been, because Welsh survived. So I, because that Jeep, if it was on fire, Welsh would have been a goner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, he's walking through the woods back towards where he needs to get to, and there are just lots of dead bodies just strewn all over the place. You see that a lot of these guys have just, their bodies are just frozen stiff. But he just walks
Yeah.
through them nonchalantly, not really being bothered by everything that's happening there. And then he continues his trek through the woods, and starts to hear a conversation between some of the other characters. Every soldier, every hour, on the radio, but I don't know where the hell you are. And at this point, basically this is supposed to be, this is Lieutenant Dyke, who nobody knows where he is. You know, he's the guy who just keeps disappearing. Mm-hmm. And then Ro ends up joining Babe. And he goes, "Everything okay?" And Babe doesn't respond. He goes, "Babe." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, how'd you do that?" Because he sees that, you know, Babe's hand is cut. You know, and he obviously has no recollection of the fact of how that actually happened. And, you know, he goes, "How'd you do that?" And he goes, "You did that." He goes, "All right, I'll fix it." So, and then what he does something very interesting. He takes out of his pocket the kerchief that he had taken, you know, from Renee's body or near Renee's body. And yeah. He uses that as the bandage. And one of the things that Bruce mm-hmm. told me when he was, you know, when we talked, you know, in the episode that I did last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, he said that he never thought of this idea of the kerchief. This was something that the director thought of on the spot, that instead of using a regular bandage, just use the kerchief. And he said that was one of the things that he kicked himself for years, that he never thought of doing that, you know, because he said that was mm-hmm. just the perfect way to do that. And, you know, at this point, you know, he starts bandaging the whole thing up, and he looks over at Babe, then looks through him and goes, "Hey, Gene, you called me Babe." "As I did? When?" "Just now." He goes, "Babe." "Yes, I did." Because it goes back to the idea that before he was saying that he only calls people by their real names. You know, that type of thing.
Right. So, no nicknames.
Right. So Babe was, you know, happy that Doc has now, you know, reached the point where
he's lowered his.
I don't know if it's lowered. It might be that he's raised the standards because he's now thinking of them more on a personal and friendly level.
No, I was gonna say like lowered his guard, okay. Like lowered his defenses, and has become allowed himself to become more attached. Ah.
Okay. All right. We were saying the same thing. Just one going up, one going down.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And then Doc Rose starts laughing, and he goes, "Babe." And then you know, then we hear him say to Babe, he goes, "Heffron, watch the goddamn line." And then they have a great camera shot that continues, and we see a bunch of footsteps in the snow, and then as we get closer, we see that there's also all the blood splotches in the snow, you know, telling us once again that you know, I guess snow is considered to be, you know, something very pure and mm-hmm. angelic and things like that, and here it's, you know, this angelic pure area has now been, I guess, defiled by the blood, you know, of the various soldiers who've been injured here. You know, I don't know if this is supposed to be Welsh's blood, or it doesn't really matter whose blood it's supposed to be. You know, the idea is that
the blood of the boys. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's one good thing about fighting in a snowy area, is that blood on snow pops so much more than blood on, like, you know, leaves. You know, fighting in like a general wooded area without snow, you wouldn't be able to see the blood. But the snow helps it, you know, for dramatic purposes. It's a lot easier to see snow on. It's a lot easier to see blood on snow than it is on ground.
Correct. Yeah, ground. From a cinematographical aspect, yes. Not necessarily from a realistic one. No. You probably do prefer not being able to see the blood, but that's fine.
Well, plus there'd probably be so much debris and stuff, like there'd be like branches, leaves, you know, pine needles and everything falling everywhere. I'd be surprised if it was that actually that pristine under the
Well, it's pristine in you know on the
Dramatic
sound
license.
stage.
Yeah.
Less pristine in the actual Ardennes forest, but here it looks nice. And as they're doing
Yeah,
this, we
and it
get
does.
the amazing Michael Kamen music once again. Which to me is very powerful music of what he does here. Just showing us the and as the camera pans, it pans past the blood, and then we see just footsteps until we reach the point where you're basically just seeing just snow. Which is also a very interesting way to sort of dissolve the aspect of the blood and footsteps that trying to show the pureness of this area. That the way that it's meant to be when there aren't people fighting over it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, like fade to white.
Exactly. And then we get the end title shot of this particular part, and it says on December 26, 1944, General Patton's Third Army broke through the German lines, allowing supplies to flow in and the wounded to be evacuated. The story of the Battle of the Bulge just told today is one of Patton coming to the rescue of the encircled 101st Airborne. And then it continues and then gives us another perspective on the same story. It tells us no member of the 101st has ever agreed that the division needed to be rescued.
I like that this post, this there's still a bickering about it, 50 years after,
That's right.
70 or 60 years after the
That's right.
events.
Because again, paratroopers, the paratroopers always say that their job is to be in a place where they are surrounded by the enemy. So if that's the case, then I was fine. There's no reason to be
It
worried.
also is a It's kind of a reminder that history really is, it's not the objective truth necessarily. It's what the winners have written down. Like, more people probably know Patton's version of the story than the 101st Airborne's. Therefore, the Patton one is the true
Correct.
story, you
Correct.
know?
Even though, they're both on
So,
the same side.
yeah.
It's not like the Germans are saying one
So,
thing and the Allies are saying something else. But you're right, 100%.
right.
That's what it comes down to. But again, part of the idea of this story is to prove that to show us,
Yeah.
what these paratroopers did, and that they did not need to be rescued. So it's funny the way that the way that they deal with that. The book talks a little bit about it also. What it says on page 154 of the book. So it says on Christmas Day the Germans attacked again, but fortunately for E Company on the other side of Bastogne. The following day, Patton's Third Army, spearheaded by Lieutenant Colonel Creighton Abrams of the 37th Tank Battalion, broke through the German lines. I guess that's why they're called Abrams tanks also. The 101st was no longer surrounded. Now had ground communication with the American supply dumps. Soon trucks were bringing in adequate supplies of food, medicine, and ammunition. The wounded were evacuated to the rear. General Taylor returned. He inspected the front lines, according to Winters, very briskly. His instructions before leaving us were, "Watch the woods in front of you." What the hell did he think we were doing while he was in Washington? Winters had a thing about Taylor. In one interview, he remarked, "And now you have General Taylor coming back from his Christmas vacation in Washington." I interrupted to say, "That's not quite fair, isn't it?" "Well, he was ordered back to testify." Winters cut me off. "I don't want to be fair." The breaking of the siege brought the first newspapers from the outside world. The men of the 101st learned that they had become a legend even as the battle continued. As the division history put it, the legend was aided by the universality of the press and radio of 10,000 daily maps showing one spot holding out inside the rolling tide of the worst American military debacle of modern times. It was aided by a worried nation grasping for encouragement and hope. For days, it was the one encouraging sight that met their eyes each morning. And the War Department, earlier than was its practice, identified the division inside the town. So even before the bloody month in the town was up, the world, the 101st, became the battered bastards of the bastion of Bastogne. The elements of drama were there, courage in the midst of surrounding panic and defeat, courage and grim humor in the midst of physical suffering, cold, and near-fatal shortages, a surrender demand and a four-letter word rebuttal, and a real comradeship. Courage and comradeship combined to develop a team that the Germans couldn't whip. Of course, Combat Company B of the 10th Armored Division was also in Bastogne, but it was not identified in the press. And of course, the 82nd Airborne fought as closely and desperate a fight on the northern shoulder of the Bulge, a fight that was at least as significant as the one in Bastogne. But it was not surrounded and never got the publicity the 101st received. The 101st still had a complaint. As the story of the Battle of the Bulge is told today, it is one of General Patton, or General, it says it here, and I don't think it's a typo. It's told today it is one of General Fatten and his Third Army coming to the rescue of the encircled 101st, like the cavalry come to save the settlers in the wagon circle. No member of the 101st has ever agreed that the division needed to be rescued. Yeah.
There you go.
But I think it's very funny that they call Patton Fatten instead of Patton.
It's funny thinking of like the movie Patton taking place in the same universe as this.
Yes.
Movie. You know what I mean? Like they're part of the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Have you ever seen
Star Wars?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what that Star Wars is definitely World War II related.
The answer is probably no.
Have you ever seen Kelly's Heroes?
No, I have not.
It's great. It's Clint Eastwood and Donald Sutherland. Oh, Don Rickles is in that. And and it's about a platoon of men that find information that there is Nazi gold hidden across enemy lines, and they decide that they're going to go across enemy lines to go relieve the gold. before what's supposed to be Patton's army moves in closer and things like that. So Telly Savalas is also in it. It's a very fun movie. And one of the whole ideas there also is that the character who's supposed to be like Patton thinks that he's the one who's leading everything, when in reality he's following everyone else's lead along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Check it out.
You should. I recommend you do. Okay, is there anything else you want to say about this particular segment or about the entire part 6 of the series?
No, just that this was a very, like I said, like nightmarish, like dreamy, kind of surreal. There's a lot of surreal, dreamy stuff in this 5-minute chunk that I appreciated.
Okay, so, cool. I'm very happy to hear that. All right, so today, now we will move on to today's segment, which is World War II movie trivia, where I will once again randomly give Alex World War II movie trivia questions, and we're going to see... We're going to see what... What, Alex?
I would probably do better on real World War II trivia than the movies, but we'll see how it goes.
All right. So we are going to now spin the wheel and see what questions you get. You never know; you might get questions about Saving Private Ryan or Great Escape or. Some other World War II movies that you're probably a little more familiar with. Let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Who wrote and directed the movie Stalag 17?
Sam Fuller?
Nope. Let's see if I can try and think of some sort of way of giving you a hint.
Give me their last name.
No, once I give you the last name, you're going to get that for sure. Yeah, are you familiar with the movie The Apartment?
I don't remember who directed
it. He also directed The Apartment.
Is it Wilder? Okay, Billy Wilder?
Also some like,
I was going to say Billy
Sunset Wilder. Boulevard, Sabrina.
I didn't know he did a war movie.
Billy Wilder. Yes, he did. All right. Let's spin the wheel again and see what your next question is. Round and around and around the wheel goes.
I was hoping you were all going to do a fighting style.
Okay, in the movie Atonement from 2007,
okay,
what retreat is shown?
What retreat is shown?
Yes.
Is it the Battle of Dunkirk?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
You see? Oh, see?
Great.
You know things. You know things.
Yeah.
You shouldn't doubt yourself so much.
You're right. I'm stupid.
All right. All right, let's spin the wheel and see what your next question is.
So far, I'm, what am I, 1 for 2? 1 for 3?
No. I've only done 2, and
okay.
And you think it counts that you got Billy Wilder? Probably.
Yeah. I would say so. Because once I started thinking about the apartment, I was about to say, is it Billy Wilder? And then you started saying other movies.
All right. Okay, there you go. All right, so you got this. So far you're 2 for 2. You know, so you shouldn't...
Yeah, but I didn't get the Kelly's Heroes one, right?
There was no Kelly's Heroes question. That was just us talking.
Okay. Oh, I definitely missed the Stalag 17 one.
No, the Stalag 17 was Billy Wilder.
It was Billy Wilder. Okay, sorry. So we've only done 2 questions so far? I feel like I'm way down. Go ahead. Keep going.
We've only done 2 questions, right, and you've got them both so far. Okay. In the 1998 movie Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
Who plays Ryan's friend who is able to give them directions as to get to Ramel?
The actor you want now?
You can tell me the actor or the character. If you give me the character, that's good enough too. I have a feeling that you would rather.
Let's see. There's not that many famous people in that movie, so I'm gonna say
He is someone that's famous.
Ted Danson, you know, I'm gonna say.
No, but think of someone who's the same more or less age as Matt Damon.
Oh, you know, that, Matt that Damon. Would not be Ted Damon. Oh, Ben Affleck, of course.
No. It would have been nice if they had Ben Affleck in there, but no. They didn't give him that.
Who is it?
Oh, come on! You
want me to keep
easily.
Guessing? Okay, I'll keep doing random names. Same age. It's got to be that McMullen, the brothers McMullen guy. What's his name?
No, you're talking about Ed Burns. It's not Ed. We're talking about it's a character they meet once. Okay.
Oh, that narrows it down for me. If it's
but,
a character,
but it's a character, but it's a character they meet once. But it's also a character who is very familiar to people who watch movies and TV shows these days. He was predominantly in a TV show called it was a TV show about Sons of Anarchy.
Okay. Are you familiar with Sons of Anarchy? I've seen Sons of Anarchy, but I don't remember anyone from that show being in it.
Okay, so the answer is Ryan Hurst.
Oh, Ryan Hurst. I don't even know who that is. So, good. Okay, I wouldn't have gotten that one for a million years. Who's Ryan Hurst?
Who is he in what? In
who was
Sons
he
of Anarchy?
In Sons of Anarchy?
Opie.
Opie.
Opie Winston.
Okay.
Harry All Opie right. Winston.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Okay. Am I done, or is there more?
No, there's two more. Okay. 2 more you got to make your way through.
All right, here we go.
Spin the wheel, and let's see what we get.
Apparently, what World War II movie I know the best. I can't even think.
All right. What is the name of the World War II miniseries created by Herman Wouk? That was the sequel to The Winds of War.
I was just going to say The Winds of War. That would have to be Pipes of Peace.
No, it's called War in Remembrance.
Ah, okay.
War in Remembrance.
There you go.
All right, you're right now. You're 2 for 4. So this is the one
Ugh.
that's gonna. There we go. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see what you're gonna get.
Oh man. Downfall from
Okay.
What counts as a World War II movie?
What counts as a World War II movie?
Yeah. Does it have to?
We're not talking like I excluded Holocaust movies from this.
Okay.
You know, they're movies that deal with soldiers during
Yeah.
World War II. Okay.
Okay.
So, okay, in the movie The Great Escape from
Okay.
1963,
All right.
who were the two tunnel kings?
That was Richard Attenborough and Steve McQueen.
No.
That's the only two people I remember from the movie.
No, sorry. It's Danny and Willie.
Oh, Danny and Willie. Right.
Danny was played by Charles Bronson.
Okay. Does
You
like
see,
Guns of Navarone count as a World War II movie?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay.
Course. But someone else got that question.
Oh. Because Charles Bronson's in that one too, I think, right?
Is he? I don't think he's in.
He's not in
He's
Guns of
in the Guns of
Navarone?
Devil? No, he's
Which
in the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, the Dirty Dozen, that's probably what I'm thinking of. I get all those
Right. So,
heist movies,
right. So
those World War II heists.
Charles Bronson and John Leighton are the two tunnel kings.
All right. I'll have to get it for next time.
Apparently. Okay, so now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie, which you did well at yesterday, so you have a chance of doing well again.
Okay.
I have faith in you. You need to have faith in yourself, Alex.
I have to use the force.
You could. You're going to use the force in order to try and make a question come up that you actually know, right? That's what you're
I'm
saying?
going to use the force to mind to Jedi to make you think I got the right answer.
Oh, okay. All right, that works. Can you do it for everyone listening also, or is it
Yes.
just look like?
Oh, no, it'll work on everyone.
Okay, this is a World War II movie that came out 2 years ago, and
Okay.
it's about the family of the commandant of Auschwitz and how they live their lives while living next to the camp itself.
Zone of interest?
Very good.
Oh,
Yes, see?
that one I did see.
There you go. There you go. So that's counted as a World War II movie in your
Well, I don't know, because if you were saying if you count Holocaust movies separately, I would count that more as a Holocaust movie personally than World War II.
Why? They don't show the prisoners.
I know,
It's
but they don't
basically
sh
dealing with the commandant.
but they don't show like
It's
fighting or anything, right?
No, they don't show the fighting, but the commandant is a soldier, and his well, does The Great Escape show fighting?
I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, I mean, it's, a matter of opinion. I could say it's on the edge. It's brackish.
Oh, for sure, it's on the edge. There's
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
obviously, Holocaust movies and literature movies are you know, there is common threads between them.
Sure, yeah. The Venn diagram, they overlap a bit.
Exactly. All right, excellent. So, Alex, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Alex Robinson?
Well, and as the co-host of Star Wars Minute, we haven't been podcasting as much, but we've been doing a series of live shows in Los Angeles, California, where we do live readings of the Star Wars scripts. We've done Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, we've done, I think we're about, anyway, we're almost about to, by the time you hear this, we probably will have completed all we've done a live reading of every one of the Star Wars movies. So if you go to swlivereads.com, there's links to all of them. You can see them all on YouTube, all star casts, Will Wheaton, Kevin Smith, all the nerd credibility you could ever want. Check it out, SW Live Reads.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movearoundminute@movierob.net. So Alex will be back with us next week, because tomorrow and Monday we will have interview episodes, and then we have the opening episode of Part 7, and then Alex will be back next Wednesday to continue talking about Part 7. So until then, Craig!
Craig!